You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes even the international. And we cover down on all of it, like the dude just said. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, one of my favorite times every single week is Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. This is where I call the roll on what we like to call the Grand Council. So let me just go ahead and call the roll right now. So from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show and also the executive editor for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, is you here?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you so much. And then, of course, from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville, and also writing for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you here?
Oh.
There it is. Stand at ease. All right. A quorum having been pronounced, let us convene the Grand Council.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da! Da-da-da. All right. All right, fellas, you know the deal. We sit here and ping each other with questions we don't know in advance, and we just see how we do. Sometimes we agree, sometimes we don't, but we still love each other when it's done. Jeff Poor, I think you went last week, so you're first this week. What you got?
I'm in the state house again today. The big bill Ishmael was drag queens.
Yeah.
but today it's Chinese nationals, and Chinese nationals owning property in Alabama. Apparently, it's a big enough to draw. I'd say about 30 people protesting. What do you think? Is this a violation of something constitutional to forbid Chinese nationals from owning property in Alabama?
So wait a minute. Who was protesting? Were they Chinese or were they anti-Chinese?
Pro-Chinese. Yeah, Chinese. Actual Chinese nationals.
All right. Dale, you want to take the first stab at it?
Were they from the University of Alabama's China student whatever thing?
Oh, you're talking about the Confucius Institute? I do not know that.
That's one of the groups. There's another group of Chinese Alabama students or something like that. Look, I don't really have too much of a problem with this. A blanket ban may be a bit much, but maybe a farmland ban might make sense. Land near military installations and things like that might make sense. Simple Google search tells me that Americans can't own land in China. So, okay, that's all I need to know.
That's pretty interesting, but China doesn't have our constitution too. So I don't know. So first of all, here's the problem I think you have is not just on the Chinese side, but what about the American landowner who wants to sell because a good fair market value, or for that matter, what if they made him a double offer? Like, what if some Chinese national came along and said, "We'll give you twice what your property's worth if you'll sell it to us today"? Should the American then be stopped from having an opportunity to earn from his property? And that's a question we have to address. That has to be done legally. But then the other side of this is, to what end? And then do we stop Nigerians? And then do we stop? I mean, I think at some point you just have to look at it and go, national security risk, I see you over there. You shouldn't own property next to a base. But at the same time, do we just stop everybody? I don't have a good full answer on it. I think it's way more problematic, though, and I think it's going to wind up in court. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'd say that's philosophically, I think we had a ban in place with Soviet nationals. They couldn't own property. So we've done stuff like this before in the past. I don't know what the legal precedent is. But where I do have a problem, I think it's a federal issue. I don't think states need to be doing this. It seems symbolic, a symbolic gesture. But I think state legislature, and this is going to tie up a lot of business, I think state legislature is better served doing other things.
All right. Fair enough. Dale, take the next question, buddy.
Jeff was talking about how big of a deal this thing was for him down there with the transgender folks, and they're loud and they're proud and all that stuff. Today they had a hearing, and a military veteran stood up and said, "Hey, just so you guys know, people at the White House are talking to me. And they're asking me what I think about this." and they're worried about moving the Space Command here. And if you guys don't let kids go to drag shows or cut their dongs off, we may not allow Space Command to come here. Is there any way that's true? Like, that, like the White House is like, hey, yeah, we need this one transgender person to stand up in a committee and make a ruckus here. I mean, what is this?
First of all, did you come on my show and say cut their dongs off? Did you just say that?
Yeah, I've been working that one in every day on all my shows, so congratulations to you.
All right, so first of all, that's a lie. I saw that video on Twitter, and I got news. If that person is saying, people from the White House are calling me, I got news. I am doubtful that there's anybody with policy-making authority calling this one transgender activist down in Alabama saying, hey, what do you think down there? What are we going to do? It's not happening. If it is, it's more of like a relationship on Twitter or something. Somebody sent them a direct message. Hey, who knows? But I do not see that person as being the deciding factor in whether or not the Biden administration makes a decision on Space Command, because we talked to our activist friend in Montgomery. Shut up. So I'm calling putting down the big BS card on that one. Jeff?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think anybody from the White House is contacting the random transgender guy from Alabama. I do think, when we're talking about the Space Command, there's like, how many different reasons are they going to not bring the Space Command to Alabama? I've heard about four, so I keep wondering how long this list is going to grow and be used by the institutional left in Alabama to try to get for some kind of change.
I heard that they're looking at the fact that Alabama has high humidity in the summers as another reason why they don't want to come. I mean, they're going to keep making up things. There's going to be a list.
Well, it's the bathroom bill. It's because we don't allow transgender females to play girl soccer or whatever. I mean, like they keep just adding these things up, and I'm very skeptical of the reasons here as this continues to grow.
I have a quick follow-up question. How many abortions are people connected with the Space Command headquarters getting in Colorado? Are they keeping that industry afloat? What's going on?
That and the transgender surgeries. How many military members actually need transgender surgeries? I mean, I just saying. Good luck passing the PT test after that. But
it's not, they can never be deployed again.
Okay, hang on. Let me jump in with my question.
It's almost like being a single mother in the military. You're not going anywhere.
let me jump in with my question before we run out of time on segment one. So, all right. So just a moment ago, I had a complete rant, and I called for Department of Public Health head, State Health Officer Scott Harris, to resign. I'm just done. He doesn't like bans on transgender therapies for minors. He was responsible for most of the proclamations that came out that shut us down during COVID. He's not appointed by the governor. He has zero accountability. He also has no remorse. I hear through the grapevine that the bill to revise how he gets his job is being retooled. Do you think it's at all possible that Scott Harris could decide it's time to resign or retire, or we could see him forever and ever? Amen. Jeff.
He's in damage control mode, so I'm hearing from a bunch of people today. He's texting them saying he was taken out of context. Watch for stories backing Scott Harris up on this. But as the editor of 1819 News, I can tell you we have audio of it. If he tries to do that we'll put out there.
Nice.
But I think he's gonna try to spin it. The fact that he's out there fighting it tells me that he wants to hold on to for this job as long as he can.
Dale.
Where is the governor? And again, I ask that question almost every week, like literally physically, where is she? Does anyone know? Because she can't like say, you're fired, get out of here. But she can go, yeah, I think Scott Harris should resign for being involved in this. So let's pour one out for old Kay and see where she is.
Well, I completely agree. I mean, it's like we had Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth on the show about something earlier, and I pointed out he can't run legislation on his own, but he can lean in with the weight of his office. Well, Kay Ivey could be doing the same thing. Technically, this is her health officer, and she could say, you know, thank you for your service, but I do believe you've lived out your welcome.
Well, guys, her outlaw director's on the ropes, too, today. If you haven't seen the story on 1819 on the lead. But you're right. She's MIA on this, and she's MIA on that. And you do have to wonder, like, who is running the show across the street?
It's a great question, and you know, I think the reality is, well, I'm getting way far afield from my question here, but I think at some point, Will Ainsworth stays healthy. He's a governor before this term is out. Is the way it's looking right now to me. I just can't help but wonder. All right, fellas, I'm going to end it on that speculative note, but we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. We're with the Grand Council. That would be Dale Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville and writing with Yellowhammer News. And then we got Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile and the executive editor for 1819 News and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, hey, we're jumping back into round two of today's Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. And Jeffro Poor, you have the first question, round two. What you got? Did we lose Jeff?
Hopefully.
I had it muted.
Oh, hello, Jeff.
Well, he's a prank guy. I didn't let you overhear my conversations. You know how these things can go out over the air sometimes. You may or may not be aware of Tommy Tuberville and his struggles right now. But looking at it, I got a question. Is this a net negative or a net positive for Coach in the Senate taking the stand here and saying some of the things he's saying? I see a lot of my listeners cheering him on, but he's taking hits in other places, and he's lost McConnell. What say you guys?
I don't think he ever truly had McConnell. I think McConnell just put up with him. But McConnell's doesn't have a reputation for being a conservative anyway. I mean, so I guess part of this is, you know, my personal bias on the issue. I'm a fan of somebody finally standing up and saying, I see a wrong, and I'm going to hang in there for right now. And if I have to be the last man standing, that's where I'll be. Well, that's, you know, my background, the whole, you know, Army Ranger thing, though I be the lone survivor, I mean, I'm for the idea of someone actually saying, I see something I don't like, and by God, I'm going to take a stand, and I'm taking it on behalf of the fact that my state has laws in place that you're was willing to bypass their DOD. And do I think he's going to start facing some potential retribution and some backlash? Yeah, but then who doesn't? I'm just glad to see somebody who's taking a stand. And by the way, I don't think they remember the fact that he was nicknamed the Riverboat Gambler back in the day. There's going to be some of that background he has that's going to come out. Dale.
Maybe he'll win a bunch and then show his thumb or something. The fact here is he's right. I mean, what they're doing is illegal. With the abortion thing, he's correct on that. And keep in mind, all the eggheads, PhDs in this community, in North Alabama and across this state, all the smart people in the media, they'll always tell you, oh, golly, if this guy does this thing that we've never liked, we're going to lose this thing. And golly, it's all his fault. And, you know, they did that with Mo, and they're doing it here with Tommy Tuberville, and they'll do it with anyone that dares go against. If they don't let us trans these kids, they're just not going to want to do business here anymore. They're going to pull up the stakes and move. And maybe it's true. But what do? Give in to the terrorism? I mean, that's essentially what it is. It's economic terrorism. Mm. Do what we want or we'll take your stuff away. And I seem to remember Jeff Sessions saying, oh, yeah, well, if you don't want to enforce the immigration law, we're going to take away some of your federal funding. And everyone's like, oh, how could we do such things? But here it seems to be perfectly okay.
Your own question, Jeff. Speak to it.
Yeah, I think it's a net positive. I don't think he's in any trouble in Alabama of ever losing a Republican primary.
No.
But I do wonder this, if this might be it for him and he knows that he ain't going to run again. I mean, I think he's losing the business community. You could just feel it. You could just see it, you know, and then I wonder if that's going to matter. He's probably hearing from those guys. hey, look, you made your point. We won. So I think it's a net positive for the people that matter, to the people that vote, but I don't know that it's good on other fronts. But net positive.
And meanwhile, John Fetterman cannot string a whole sentence together, and nobody says boo about it. It's just
it's worse than that. No. It's not that they don't say boo about it. They clean it up for him.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, there was a post where it was like, John Fetterman said blah, 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 and it was like a perfectly coherent sentence. And someone's like, what he actually said was blah, 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 and fell over. So let's not pretend that he actually said those things.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Who had the next question? I think it was you, Dale, right? Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Jeff knows all these muckety mucks in D.C. and New York and all these other things. He's a big-time, big baller. So maybe he can answer this for us. CNN's losing hours to Newsmax recently. And the Drudge Report indicates that the new Fox News primetime lineup is going to be Hannity, Jesse Waters, and then Greg Gutfeld. I thought Waters is the guy to replace Carlson. He's closest to him, I think, delivery-wise and all that other stuff, and philosophically. But Hannity moving up, that's kind of a surprise to me. Hannity's been there for so long, and Laura Ingraham disappears. Apparently one of the nicest people in radio, from what I understand. Jeff, what have you heard about that?
I'm surprised with the Hannity stuff. But they moved him around the past when they had their shakeup with Megyn Kelly and Bill O'Reilly. He's floated around, and he had Alan Colmes for a while. So I would have thought Waters, too, but they're very cautious, maybe, with him. They're trying to rebrand Fox News. I think that may have something to do with it. Just Republican Reagan talking points versus this whole populist thing. I mean, it's two distinct brands, and they're trying to get back to a more sort of philosophical, like I said, Reagan-y type of a Republican conservative at Fox.
All right, so let me ask you, though. You just said Laura Ingraham goes away. I mean, I anticipate filling a gap, but not losing their only female lead in the evening. So they're losing Laura Ingraham?
I mean, the proposed lineup is Hannity, Jesse Waters, Gutfeld, and that would probably be where Ingraham was. Maybe she goes back an hour. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah, or would she just go back to where, or should they may move her to that hour before?
Maybe she's gonna start doing comedy.
Maybe. All right, well, fellas, we're down to the wire here, but let me just ask you this real quick. My question: Mobile City Council just kind of surprised everybody by getting an annexation referendum opportunity passed that would annex a big chunk of West Mobile area. And bringing it into a position where if the voters approve, Mobile would suddenly ramp up to be the second largest city in the state. So then we'd have the first and second grew exponentially, run by Republicans, and we had the two former largest cities, Montgomery and Birmingham, shrunk while being led by Democrats. Anybody going to pay attention to that?
Well, I think so. You have Mobile climbing the ranks to 114th best city in the country, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Huntsville plummeting all the way down the list from 1 to 2. It might be time to kick battle out and let Sandy Stimson run the whole state.
We'll see. Jeff, 10 seconds. What you got?
Huntsville doing it the right way. Mobile annexing people in. Not exactly organic.
All right. Fair enough. All right, fellas. Appreciate both of you. That's the Grand Council. That's Dale Jackson from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN up in Huntsville, and writing for Yellowhammer News, and Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, and writing with executive editor for 1819 News. All right, Phil Williams, y'all stay tuned. Dipper number 3 coming up.